Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. Now, as long as electricity demand continues to outpace the available supply, rolling blackouts will continue to be a necessary measure. Rolling blackouts, of course, being carefully planned interruptions in the electrical power supply in order to prevent complete power failure. One way to alleviate the need for rolling blackouts, or at least make them as short and painless as possible, is battery energy storage systems. And on the line to discuss that is Robert Johnson from Power Factors, a leading provider of asset and performance management solutions for the renewables industry. So, Robert, thanks for joining us. And can you tell us about Power Factors?
Sure, Jason. First, thanks for having me on your program. You know, I've enjoyed listening to some of your previous interviews, so thank you for that. At Power Factors, we provide an enterprise data and controls platform. And on top of that platform, we have a family of purpose-built applications that our customers, who are renewable energy asset owners, typically of very large portfolios of assets, they use our software to really scale up their operations and then optimize system performance. And more recently, through strategic acquisitions, we've added cool capabilities like turnkey SCADA systems, where we can deploy hardware and software and power plant control solutions as part of our service offering. And I think one of the things we're really good at is, you know, managing the complexity of data when you're dealing with these large portfolios. So most of the time we have, you know, a heterogeneous landscape of OEMs. So think manufacturers of turbines, inverters, trackers, relays, et cetera. And each of these manufacturers has their own data maps and ways of modeling data. So we provide this layer of ingestion and contextualization and normalization of that data, and then we enrich it with our different algorithms and cleanse it, and then we provide powerful ways for our customers to interact with that data. So they use our SaaS applications to run their business, and then they also integrate the data that we provide in other applications that they build directly. So that's really what we do. I've been doing this for about renewable energy for about 18 years, and about 15 of those spent really focused on grid integration. And the challenges of grid integration as renewable energy starts to penetrate at higher levels. So your topic of rolling blackouts is really interesting. So I'm excited to discuss that.
Interesting. And now, of course, on the subject of rolling blackouts, can you give us a little insight on them, you know, beyond what I mentioned, what causes them and why they're so detrimental to the public?
Yeah. I mean, having lived through several rolling blackouts myself over the past few decades here in California, it's pretty easy to see why they're detrimental. But, you know, I'll start first with what they are. And I think many of your listeners probably already understand that grid operators are doing this dance of continuously balancing generation and load. Load being the, you know, the consumer industrial use cases of power consumption, and then generation, which is, you know, provided by a wide range of sources, natural gas, hydro, nuclear, wind, solar, coal, et cetera. And when load and generation are in balance, everyone's happy, everything's hunky-dory. But when there's an imbalance, the spinning generators that are providing the lion's share of generation start to deviate in frequency. And, you know, they have this inertia where if they're matching the load or the load's more than what they can provide, then they get bogged down and the frequency starts to drop, and vice versa. If they have spare capacity, the frequency starts to rise. And that frequency stability is a problem. If there's an excursion that's large enough, you know, those generators will trip offline and will lose the grid. So it's really important that those are maintained in balance. And rolling blackouts are really a last-ditch effort of operators to prevent a full blackout, which really is very difficult to recover from, and we can maybe discuss that a little bit later. But a good example to illustrate this, you know, during extreme weather events like heat waves, you know, which are happening with increasing frequency due to climate change, people will run their air conditioning to keep cool, understandably, right? But this is happening all at the same time in the same region, and this would often coincide with degradation in the output from generators, or maybe even like the tripping offline of some of those generators. So then you get this big imbalance. So grid operators select pockets of load, like maybe a city at a time or a neighborhood at a time. I don't know exactly how to do that, but they pull those offline to prevent the rolling blackout. And I think they're called rolling because they're sometimes called rotating as well, blackouts, because they're circulating which parts of the grid to take offline, presumably to spread the pain in a more equitable way.
Now, all right, so most of us, I think, have a basic or advanced understanding of battery management systems, but what's the current state of the technology, and, you know, why haven't they already solved the problem of rolling blackouts?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's a pretty broad topic, and I think maybe instead of going down a bunch of rabbit holes, I can focus on, you know, one aspect in particular, which I find really exciting, which is, you know, the role of grid forming and grid following inverter-based resources. And this applies not only to energy storage, but more generally to solar, wind, and even electric vehicles, EVs. So most inverter-based resources, or IBRs for short, are grid following today, which means they follow and they synchronize to grid frequency and voltage, and then they source or sync their current depending on whether or not they're charging or discharging. And this means during those excursions of voltage and frequency, they may trip offline. In fact, the requirements for interconnections actually mandate that they do so. And the problem is the tripping of these IBRs are actually going to exacerbate the situation as there are more and more of them, which could even further hasten a blackout. This is one of the challenges of grid integration that renewables is one of the fundamental challenges we're dealing with. And we've got a lot of smart people working on the problem, and there's probably too many dimensions of that to cover on the call. But there is an emerging increasing use of an alternative mode of operation with these IBRs called grid forming. And a grid forming inverter is able to actually synthesize voltage and frequency, much like the synchronous generators, which are the workhorses of the grid today. So instead of tripping offline at the moment they're most needed, they can stay online and help support the grid. I think that's like one of the big challenges that we're facing is, you know, how do we get more of these grid forming inverters online? How do we make them more ubiquitous? The other problem is really just one of penetration. Do we have enough energy storage systems online to meet the different scenarios of outages? You know, extended duration storage is an important area of upcoming technology. But, you know, I think on a positive note, we're already seeing these energy storage systems help to avoid blackouts. I don't know if you remember, if you heard back in the fall of 22, and in California, we had a major heat wave, and the participation of BESS systems actually covered the gap in generation and prevented a rolling blackout. And this was, I think, seen as a pretty significant milestone and an indication of things to come.
All right. Now, before I let you go, what's Power Factor's experience with battery management systems? You kind of got into this, but, you know, how can they help alleviate rolling blackouts?
Great. Yeah. Well, you know, we have a number of products and capabilities that BESS owners can use to help do their part in avoiding blackouts. You know, through one of the strategic acquisitions I mentioned earlier, we acquired a company, a really wonderful company called InAccess, who has a family of power plant control solutions and really great solutions for energy storage systems. So, for example, we can help those systems participate in ancillary markets like fast frequency response. So we can do, you know, very, very fast increase and outcrease of output to help counterbalance the changes in frequency that we were just discussing earlier. And then we also have some pretty cool analytic and algorithmic capabilities. One that I'm pretty interested in these days is state of charge estimation. So as an example, lithium ion phosphate, or also called LPF, is probably the most common chemistry in distribution today for grid-connected energy storage. And they're just inherently difficult to estimate the state of charge. So we provide algorithms that help create diagnostics for how well that estimation process is working. And that allows the operators to have confidence that when those energy storage systems are called upon to support the grid, they will be ready and available. We also have BMS capabilities, again, through the InAccess family of technologies, where we can take in pricing and production forecasts and then calculate an optimized dispatch schedule for energy storage systems so that they can really optimize the revenue and also respect the reliability requirements so that we're not overstressing the battery, for example. And then there's a whole bunch of other things. We could go on forever. I think the key thing about energy storage that's exciting to me is that I've been seeing it coming on the horizon for almost 20 years now, and always felt it was never going to come. But now that it's here, it's the pivot that really enables the next real phase of the energy transition. And that is really inspiring for me.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Robert. I want to thank you for your time. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.